The first reading is taken from Philippians chapter 4, beginning to read at verse 4, and that can be found on page 1180 in the Bibles in the pews. That's 1180. So Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is taken from Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 38, and can be found on page 1042 of the Pew Bibles. So 1042. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." This is the word of the Lord.
Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart always be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Since I retired from full-time work over 14 years ago, my life has been almost as busy as it was when I was working full-time. And I didn't like the idea of retirement anyway. But the difference now is that I have much more time and choice over what I want to do, and I can be much more involved with my family and also do more for the church and the community, as well as enjoying some leisure time with my friends and family. But whatever stage we're at in our lives, it's all too easy to become submerged in busyness, even good busyness, and squeezing out the time we need to spend with God. Strange that I should have been given the story of Mary and Martha to speak about this morning, which can be regarded as dealing with the subject of being distracted by busyness. And as Mark Twain reportedly said, most people are bothered by those passages in Scripture which they cannot understand. But as for me, I always notice that the passages in Scripture which trouble me most are those that I do understand. How true. Now, in the story from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42, I can't remember the page number, but if you want to look it up, it's Luke 10, 38 to 42. Jesus had three friends who lived in Bethany, Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, who were brother and sisters, and they lived together in the same house, which was probably owned by Martha. and Jesus would occasionally stay in their home when he was in Judea. There's a marked contrast between Mary, who's focusing on worshipping the Lord, and Martha, who's being distracted by more practical service and apparently becoming grumpy in her busyness. Look at Luke 10, verse 40, which reads, "But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me.'" Mary had been in the kitchen with Martha until Jesus started teaching. And Martha said that her sister had left her alone to do all the serving. Martha was being distracted from her spiritual needs by other things, although the other things in this case are not bad things. They were good things. Sometimes even good things can fill up our lives to the point where we neglect our spiritual lives. God has not blessed us with our families, jobs, friends, abilities, and other gifts to give us an excuse to abandon a close walk with him. After all, without him, we can do nothing, as John tells us in John 15 and verse 5. And look at Luke 10, verses 41 to 42 for the key point. "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." The one thing which Mary chose was to focus on Jesus, to listen to the Lord's teaching. True discipleship follows from that. It's never a substitute for that. Anxiety can be a killer. Many of the physical and mental needs of our present day are stress related. And Martha is certainly a stressed out lady at this time. You can imagine her stewing for a time in the kitchen. Well, where else would you stew? Before being emboldened to charge into the room in such a way. And certainly the Lord does care, but not nearly as much as the problem as Martha sees it, as he does about the real problem of which Martha is unaware. The Lord is more concerned about Martha's state of mind and priorities than he is about being served a feast later on. And I guess many of us are likely to identify with Martha. I certainly can. Often we can feel pulled in different directions, feeling worried and distracted by many things. These seem to be common threads of life in our fast-paced world. And yet, as Jesus says in Luke 12 and verse 25, "Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life?" A look at the sensible advice in our first reading from Philippians 4, verse 6. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." We know that worrying does no good, and that much of what we worry about is not so important in the larger scheme of life. And yet we cannot seem to quell our anxious thoughts and frantic activity. Both listening and doing, receiving God's word and serving others, are vital to the Christian life, just as inhaling and exhaling are to breathing. Yet how often do we forget to breathe in deeply? Trying to serve without being nourished by God's word is like expecting good fruit to grow from a tree that has been uprooted. But is this conflict between spiritual focus and practical physical things really necessary anyway? We don't have to choose between worshipping the Lord like Mary or serving the Lord like Martha. Where faith grows, anxiety lessens. This is one of the chief lessons Jesus taught earlier in his ministry during what we call the Sermon on the Mount. Do not be anxious then, saying, "What shall we eat?" or "What shall we drink?" But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. From Matthew chapter 6. If our walk of faith consists mainly of going to church and then on with life's busyness, then we are not receiving of the goodness that the Lord has planned for each one of us. The problem with Martha is not her serving, but rather that she is worried and distracted. The word translated distracted in verse 40, perisparto, actually has the connotation of being pulled or dragged in different directions. Jesus' words to Martha may be seen as an invitation rather than a rebuke. Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. The one thing needed for Martha is to receive the gracious presence of Jesus, to listen to his words, to know that she is valued not for what she does or how well she does it, but for who she is as a child of God. And if I can spare Jenny Hancock's blushes, I saw a good illustration of the spiritual balance that we need in our lives the other Sunday here, when I saw her sitting quietly and prayerfully down just ahead of us, ahead of me, quietly and prayerfully giving practical service by polishing the church warden's staff, all done quietly and prayerfully with no fuss. And so the challenge for you and for me is that it's all too easy to become submerged in busyness, even good busyness, squeezing out the time we need to spend with God. Where faith grows, anxiety lessens. Jesus wants us to have a balanced approach to faith and action in our lives, a faith that is not accompanied by action is dead. But works that distract from faith are not what is called for either. So let's have a closing prayer which draws on our first reading from Philippians chapter 4. Let's pray. Dear Lord, may we rejoice in you always. Let your gentleness be evident to all. You are near to us. We do not need to be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, may we present our requests to you. Amen.